The Shadow of Fu Manchu. Based on the stories by Sax Roma. By Nayland Smith, the Fu Manchus returned to Cairo to get the authentic Mokana relics out of which Sir Lionel Barton had tricked the Manchu with imitations. Barton embarks for England with his niece Rima and Shan Greville. Assisted by Greville, Barton removes the true relics from their canvas coverings and replaces them with articles of no value. These are put in the ship safe by the purser. Later that night, as Greville and Rima on the upper boat deck hear the motors of an approaching plane, a radio operator delivers a message to Greville from Smith. It is a warning of an attempted theft of the relics. As Greville and Rima start to go below to warn Barton, Kennington, an agent of Fu Manchu, steps out of the darkness of a lifeboat and, holding a knife at Rima's throat, threatens to kill her if she or Greville utter a sound.
One sound from either of you, and I shall be forced to kill you, Miss Barton.
Kennington, member of Parliament, eh? Just who are you?
It wouldn't help you to know, Mr. Greville.
Well, you can't keep us here all night, old chap. We'll report this to the captain as soon as you let us go.
You may make your report, Greville, after that seaplane finishes with us.
The seaplane? What the deuce has that to do with us?
Nothing. With you.
Look, Sam. It's settling on the water close by.
And our engines have stopped. What's it all about, Kennington? Part of your plan?
You'll see presently.
Ahoy, seaplane! Are you in trouble?
They don't answer. Do you happen to know why not, Kennington?
Ahoy there! Seaplane! Pick up someone! Do you need help? Let's have the searchlight, Mr. Mayne.
Look, Shan, in the water moving toward the plane. It looks like a big football.
By Jove, there's a swimmer towing it behind it.
Sorry, Miss Barton and Mr. Greville, but I'm leaving you. They're signaling for me. Tell Sir Lionel he's welcome to my cabin now.
Good heavens, he dove overboard.
I guess. And the act he put on in the purser's office. I wonder if Smith
was... Get that plane's insignia number, Mr. Mayne.
Look, Shan, it has no number. There isn't a mark on its wings. When both the men have reached the plane, they're pulling that rubber bag up now.
Shan, what the deuce is going on?
A couple of men jumped overboard and slammed to that plane. One of them was our friend Kennington.
There it goes, and not a single word from any of her crew. Look, it's heading back toward the coast of Egypt.
Log that business, Mr. Mayne. Find out who those men were who jumped ship. Full speed ahead, quartermaster.
We can tell them who one of them was.
Kennington, eh? The last little twerp.
Oh, here's a couple of radiograms, Sergeant Smith. They're self-explanatory.
We were coming to warn you, Uncle, when this Kennington stopped us.
Lionel Barton.
Well, what do you want?
Captain would like to see you, sir, in the purser's office.
Right. Come on, Shan. You too, Rima. You might as well get on with it, whatever it is.
Lionel Barton, I believe. Your name is well known in my country, but I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you. My name is Wanderhey.
How do you do, Captain? What's the trouble?
I'm afraid, sir, you've lost something of value.
What's that?
It's a case of minor piracy. I've been at sea 40 years, and I've never experienced anything like this before.
Well, what is it?
See for yourself, sir, and judge if I or my officers are to blame. This is the door to the purser's office. Look at the lock and where it was.
A clean hole, Sir Lionel. Through brass fitting door and all.
I see.
And this is strange enough. I don't see how it was done without noise. Now come inside, please. Look at that save, Sir Lionel, and this lock.
A 6-inch hole cut cleanly through the steel door. By Jove! How the devil did they do it?
This steel has been cut through like cheese. No blowtorch could have done this. It would have taken much too long.
Too clean for blowtorch work. Anyway, the noise would have roused the purser.
Exactly, sir. But look at the edges of the hole. The frayed steel crumbles away like breadcrumbs.
Amazing, by gad.
Wait, I remember now. Oh, the deuce. Excuse me, Captain, go on.
Shan, you almost had something.
Yes, I almost had something. It's gone.
It's plain magic, sir. A safe breaker with some new thing of science. But what can I say? He jumped overboard with his loot and was picked up by that plane.
And, what's missing?
Nothing, Sir Lionel, excepting your 3 sealed packages. Look for yourself, sir. They're gone.
Gone? Can't be. Look again.
Useless, sir. Your packages are not in the safe.
By God, it's a fine state of affairs. You should have a safe strong enough. It's not your fault. Or the fault of the purser. Great loss. Irreparable, but forget it.
Sir Lionel, thank you. I'm desperately sorry over the loss, naturally. Particularly so since it happened on my ship. However, I appreciate your attitude.
It's not your fault.
If you will let me have an itemized list of what the packages contained, I shall see that the company reimburses you for the intrinsic value. We carry insurance, of course.
Well, I'll tell you, I'd rather hush the matter up entirely for a certain reason.
Naturally, it will have to go down in the ship's log.
Right. But let's keep it out of the press, eh? Let's keep it out of the press. Well, come along, Reamer. Shan to the cabin. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, Sir Lionel. Good night.
Trickster, you've done it again.
3 times running, Shan, and 3's the charm. I've tricked Fu Manchu, the man we all thought so utterly invincible. Oh, I'll enjoy telling Smith about this.
But they took something, Uncle Arnold.
They did, by gad. Benicker, a couple of collars, and your umbrella. The one with the carved glass handle that Shan got you in Cairo.
And you told the steward you hadn't seen it.
I'll get you another for a wedding present. But now, children, we can sail the rest of the trip, as Smith said, in peace and comfort. I'm pretty sure I've eliminated Fu Manchu and his agents.
I certainly hope you have.
And speaking of that wedding, we'll arrange for it as soon as we get home. A bit of publicity here and there.
Oh, I say, must it be a public event? After all, we're not royalty.
Rima deserves a real wedding, my boy. And she'll have one they'll remember in London for some time to come.
I imagine they will, if you arrange it.
Now, you'll stay at our place in Bruton Street while Rima and I run up to Greywater Park for a bit of a rest.
But, Uncle, I'll be busy with dressmakers.
Oh, later. Plenty of time for that. We'll take Mrs. Petrie to the park with us. They'd come back when Smith and Petrie arrive.
Good heavens, that'll be a fortnight.
Right, maybe 3 weeks.
But Uncle Lionel...
And I'll know about I'm arranging this wedding. That's settled.
Well, let him have his fun, Shan. After all, it can't last forever.
You little minx. You'll enjoy this as much as this publicity hound. Oh, well, have it your way, Sir Lionel. If he isn't on leave in the States, I'll get Paul Rickson, the American Vice Consul, to stay with me while you and Rima are at the park.
Yarn you spun, Grim. This Fu Manchu must be quite a lad. Ever find out exactly who Kennington was?
Well, he wasn't or isn't a member of Parliament, that's certain. We examined his cabin the next morning and found 2 of his 3 trunks empty. There were discarded clothes and a pneumatic pump in the other.
Oh, blow up that rubber bag, eh?
Probably. A life jacket was missing and the crate that had held the relics was there, broken open.
That proves he knew Barton's tricky methods.
The floating rubber ball probably carried the packages they got from the safe across to the plane. Of course, he had an accomplice to do the real work.
Well, he kept tabs on the rest of them. Clever gang. Pennington was smart to draw attention to himself right at the start. He even pulled the wool over your friend Smith's eyes. What's going to happen when they find Barton's tricked them again?
I don't know, Rick. I wish I did.
Another drink?
No, let's go home. I have an appointment early tomorrow with several experts. They're coming to examine the relics. Sir Lionel always leaves such things to me. He can't meet his contemporaries without getting into a fight. Come along. I'm glad you could spend a few days with me, Rick. Sir Lionel's Bruton Street is gloomy and lonesome at best.
Reminds me of a museum, the way Sir Lionel had it cluttered up and stuffed from all over the world. Well, here we are.
I hope Betts has left a cold snack on the buffet.
Sham gravy.
What the deuce?
It seemed to come from the basement window of that house next door.
Couldn't have. That place has been vacant for 2 years that I know of. It's plastered with agent signs.
Well, anyway, I'll bet it came from that basement window. A woman's voice.
Sham. Please, Sham.
There you are. A woman's voice with an Oriental accent.
There's something uncanny about this. That wasn't the voice of Follow Sweet.
Fu Manchu's daughter?
Yes, but that's impossible. She's in Cairo.
Well, if she's in Cairo, she can't be here.
This is serious.
Someone sure as heck called your name. Well, let's have a look. There's someone in the street, so it must have come from that house.
Right. Come along. You sure it came from the basement window?
Dead sure. We'll have to go down the steps to that little forecourt. Leave the gate open.
Careful. It's dark down here.
Look here, Mr. Graham. Hey, this window's open. That voice came from inside.
Who's inside there?
What sound? What now?
Someone certainly called my name. I'm going in.
Oh.
You stay here.
Oh. Not me, pal. I'm trailing right along. Besides, if cops catch you prowling a vacant house, you'll need a reliable witness. Go on.
Very well. Come on. A flashlight would come in handy now.
Somebody's here! Get out! Quick! I'm here! They got me! My throat!
Shadow of Fu Manchu.